أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Wednesday the 28th of June 2006. As you may be aware, Abbas is not in for I think a couple of weeks there. And I will try to fill in for what he was doing, although I will not touch Surah An-Najm, for that is his specialty. What we would like to see today is Surah Dhariyat as advertised. Surah Dhariyat, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salatullahi wa salamu alayhi, salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In a hadith says that Surah Zariyat is for acquiring abundant mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is anything in particular that you want abundant of from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then recite Surah Zariyat. And especially in the acquisition of rizq, your sustenance, when you want that in abundance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite Surah Zariyat as often as possible. This is found. This hadith is found in Ayatul Anas al-Makarim Shirazi's Tafsir al-Namuna, where he has quoted Sheikh Abbas al-Sheikh al-Qummi, Tafsir al-Qummi, and all that in this hadith. Now, the Surah number 51, Surah Zariyat, was revealed in Makkah and talks about in particular, the response that the Prophet was asked to give to those who refused to believe on the Day of Judgment. You see, remember when the Prophet came with a message, there were people who rejected the Prophet. There were people who sneered at the Prophet. There were people who laughed at him, right? Who mocked the very concept. Now, there were three main messages that the Prophet brought. The Prophet brought the message of unity of God, existence of God, to people who believe in idols. And he was someone who was telling them there is one God only. Forget all your idols. Keep them aside. Only one God. The other message that the Prophet brought was that I am your messenger. I have been appointed by him to convey to you. Right? And the third message, most important, was that there is going to be a day of judgment in which we shall all have to give judgment, give account of what we do. Right? There will be good reward for what we have done good. There will be punishment for what we do bad. Now, these kuffar, and this is an interesting point, these people who are not ready to believe in the message of the Prophet did not attack the existence of God, because they knew here there is something they cannot just deny. Did not attack the concept of the prophethood of the Holy Prophet, because they knew here was a person who himself is evidence of some kind of superiority amongst us. There was one thing. They could really attack and laugh and sneer and make joke of. And that was the belief of Day of Judgment. Aha, so you mean after we all die, we're going to become alive again? Right? Ha 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 ha. They would sneer. So, these were the people who came with that main objection being on the Day of Judgment. Now, in that response, in response to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why, it's a small surah, it's not a big surah, it is what, how many verses? 60 verses, right? Ayatul Hasati. 60 verses, right? It's not a big surah. And if you look at the style in which Allah has responded to them, right, you find that the style is an intellectual style. It is not a style that just says, that reacts to what the kafirs are saying. The kafirs are talking about the Day of Judgment is going to take place. Now we can't believe it. Now why? Where are our forefathers? If they are going to become alive, where are they? And when is this day? And when is it going to come? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them all in such a manner, right? That if they were to sit and think through all that, they would know truly that this is something that we have to believe in. So, let's start with the beginning of the surah. The beginning five, rather four verses. 1, 2, 3, 4 are the qasam. You know the style adopted in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam and oath by something that is powerful, something that is strong, and using that oath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives jawab-e qasam. Now, jawab-e qasam is a statement made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give strength to that statement, Allah takes oath in the beginning. So, when he starts in all the small surahs, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ وَالْتَلَاهَا, you know, all these are wa al qasam. He is taking an oath by the superiority, the grandness of that particular creation of his. Here, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with four things. وَالدَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وَقْرَى فَالْجَارِيَاتِ يُسْرَى فَالْفُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرَى. If you look at the English translation, I swear, by the wind that scatters far and wide, Dariyati Dharwa, understand the Arabic meaning of Dariyat. Dariyat, you know, if I collect, a handful of beans, right? And then I want to sow them in the ground. As I move along, the way these seeds, the beans come out from my hand and are sown on the ground, you know? Just like that, right? Now, Dariyati Dharwa is these winds, when winds come and pick up seeds or beans or grains, and scatter them across the earth or the sky. That is called Dhariyati. Dhariyati Dharwa. Allah is taking an oath by the power of those winds that take pollen from one flower to another flower, right? That take dust from one side to another side. That take grains from barren land to fertile land. These winds that do these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Dhariyati Dharwa. فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقْرَى. Hamilat is from the word haml. Haml is, to carry, right? Hamilat are referring to clouds. Wiqra means something heavy. فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقْرَى means, imagine, look at the clouds. How soft they appear. How transparent they appear. Yet, those are the clouds that are carrying tons of water. And moving from one area to another area, and then letting go of the water. So, فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقْرَى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالْجَارِيَاتِ يُسْرَى. And see how easily heavy objects that would normally drown in water, float on water. So you see ships floating on water, easily cutting through water, yet these same ships, they were left, they would drown. So, فَالْحَامِلَاتِ فَالْجَارِيَاتِ يُسْرَى فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرَى is now referring to angels. So the first one was wind. The second one was clouds. The third one was ships. The fourth one, فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرَى, is referring to angels. Because they are the ones who have been endowed, or rather entrusted, the task of doing this work. فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرَى. Now, what is the link between these things? مُقَسِّمَات is to divide. أَمْرَى is duty and role. Now, those who have been given that role, the role has been divided over four people, five people, angels, right? فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرَى, that means angels that will do what they have been asked to do, right? And by the power of these angels, Allah is taking an oath for a statement that we will still discuss yet, yeah? We have yet to come to statement. Right now, we're looking at, why did Allah choose these things? I mean, look at the link. There is wind. There is clouds, there is ships on the sea, and angels. Come on, I mean, there has to be a link somewhere. See, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. There is that link which is established clearly, that by the sun and the moon that follows it, and the day that is created by the sun, the night that is created by the moon, and so on. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by first of all the wind, secondly the clouds, thirdly the ships. Not even the water. We're not talking of the water. We're talking of the ships. Right? And fourthly, more importantly, the angels. What is the link between these four things that we can identify? And therefore understand that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to take an oath by these four things. Right? Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rida sallallahu alayhi, he says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath first by wind, then by clouds, then by ships, in actual fact, if a person reciting this would be looking at wind on the earth, clouds in the sky, and ships on the water, Allah is taking an oath, taking oath by examples of what is happening around you in three different spheres of existence that is around you. The sky, the earth, and the sea. In all these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing your attention to one example. And saying, look at this. The clouds that are moving in the sky. So if you look at the sky, first thing that comes to you is the clouds. Fine. Allah is then saying, turn to the sea, look at the ships that are sailing through. Turn to the land around you, the earth, look at the wind, the way it scatters all these seeds and pollen. Have you seen all this? Then I take oath by فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرَى. Angels. Why? Because all that is happening around you is happening with a cause, with a reason. And that is being controlled by angels that I have created. The angels that I have entrusted with certain duties are doing what you see. What you can describe as a scientific phenomenon today. What you will try and find out why it is happening. But remember one thing. Whenever that is happening, whatever is happening around you, it is happening because I have allocated that duty of effect to an angel that I created. So in other words, if we can try and, you know, sort of understand that science, you know, scientific, a phenomenon, any phenomenon. I drop the keys, this will go down. Gravity. Well, the phenomenon is explained by what? By the force of gravity. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us something so important here. That if I believe, I can explain that it is gravity that is pulling this. But what has happened in result is that I have removed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the equation of this phenomenon. See how it works? Slowly, all around me, there are so many phenomena and events that are taking place that I can explain. I can see why this is happening. I can see why it is summer now, because the sun was so high, because the hot airs have moved out, or the cold winds have moved out, and so on. I can say the earth has tilted. All the phenomena that are taking place around me, I can explain it beautifully without the need for Allah. Where does Allah come into play? Nowhere. Now, as a result, as we enhance our understanding of the phenomena that are around us, as we enhance that level of understanding, our faith on Allah reduces. Guaranteed. Why? Because now we don't need Allah in the picture to explain what is happening. We don't need Allah. Do we need Allah? So when we don't need Allah to explain what is happening, even in those things that we cannot explain, we try to find answers other than Allah. Are you with me? Forget phenomena now. Come to events. Come to incidents. When something bad happens to me and I can explain why it has happened, I don't need Allah. I'm not saying I'm not a believer. I'm a believer. But I'm talking of a level of faith and understanding of Allah's presence at all times that is more than just bookish. More than just saying that yes, Allah exists in all places. No. I'm saying that at everything we do, where do we put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the whole formula, in the whole surrounding that we're living in? Now, we don't, because subconsciously we can explain everything. This is why this is happening. This is why this is happening. This light is on because it's a wire connected to the power outlet. The power outlet gets power from. Everything can be explained. And when everything can be explained, we don't need Allah. My subconscious. As I get used to that kind of a life, where I can explain everything around me, without the equation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without adding Allah to the equation, then there comes a time in my life when something happens, I cannot explain it. So I would say, nah, I cannot explain it, but there is an answer to it. I must find an answer to it. Where is Allah? Huh? When we come to our wits' end and we can't explain it, it's because we can't explain it. What we have to understand is that every action and reaction, every cause and effect, the system in which Allah has created us in, Allah has created angels to carry out the effect once the cause has taken place. It is this what he means when he says, فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرًا, that you look at the skies and see how the clouds are moving, carrying tons of water with it. You look at the seas and see how this heavy load of metal and ships are moving. Right? Carrying tons of equipment with it. You look at the winds that are carrying so much as they fly through. You look at all these things and know that there is a power controlling these things. And that power is my allocation of angels. فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرًا. You see, interesting things in understanding Quran is that when it comes to qasam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam of certain things, understand that that thing must be indeed grand for Allah to have used. For example, the Quran says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do they not look at the camel? How is it created? Right? Now, camel at that time, especially with the Arabs, you know, the camel was such that it was a beast of burden. It was an animal that could go for days without water in desert climate. It was an animal that eats little and dried grass and all that. But above all, an interesting fact that I came across was that a camel's eyes are actually magnifying glass in such a way that when it looks at a man, the man appears so huge to it, okay? And that is why we can enslave, or rather we can tame camels, we can get work done, otherwise the camel is such a huge animal. The reason why it is afraid of man is because to the camel, the man appears so huge. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, look at how He created the camel for us. Right? I mean, this is just an example. There's so many other examples in the Quran. Whenever it comes to, especially Qasam in the 30th Surah, where you have Wal Asr, Innal Insana Lafi Khusr, for example, study what is Asr, because Allah could not have used the word Asr if it had no significance. Or if it was of low significance. It has to have a high significance for Him to have used this. Now here, we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He uses this, وَالْضَارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وَقْرَى وَالْجَارِيَاتِ يُسْرَى فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرًا. It's proving a point here, that this is how these things are working. Any questions before I go ahead? Right. Having understood this part of the surah, which is the first part of the surah, we come to what Allah wants to say as a statement. Because remember, we said, after taking oath, Allah will then make a statement. Yes.
You're saying these things are very great. You're saying these things, Allah's promises are very great. But is there a greatness in there more than what we understand from it? Because from what we understand, they're not that great, they're just pretty ordinary. Because we don't understand the method. What is Allah's intention of bringing this to us? Where is the greatness?
The question here is that greatness of these things, is there something more than just what we understand? Because perhaps many of these things we take them for granted. We take them so lightly, really. Is there something that we are missing here? That's the question, yeah? No, the answer is a straightforward, simple answer. Right? I am a person, myself, who cannot see without glasses. Okay? Now, you come and tell me how important these glasses are. Something that I'm so used to that I don't realize. On a day-to-day basis, I don't give a second glance to my glasses. When suddenly you come up and tell me and draw my attention to the importance of these glasses and say that, look, you will not even be able to see without these glasses. And I sit for a moment and I say, wow, I have never given this a thought. Right? That's what it is. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn our attention to certain things, Allah is drawing our attention to the most obvious things. But perhaps the gravity, right, of the significance has not sunk in. And for that reason, Allah is drawing our attention. Look at the clouds. We see them day in, day out. Right? We hear the story of the 11th Imam saying this cloud is going there, this cloud. Each and every cloud was carrying water moved by wind. No thoughts to how this is happening. Right? Ha! You give it a, you know, we are in advanced level of technology now, you know. You want to know how it's happening? Well, it's easy. The currents of air moving in this direction. There's a vacuum here and so the hot air moves in and the cold air, whatever, hot air rises and cold air moves in and settles down and so. Well, that's where our iman grows weaker and weaker and weaker. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to reinforce a very important point. فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرًا. Remember the angels, as you see the sky and watch the clouds, as you look at the earth and see the winds, as you look at the sea and see the ships sailing, remember there are angels commanded by me taking care of things. Now, you will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. Right? That's the aim of the qasam. Now, in Jawab al-Qasam, verse number 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٌ وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعٌ. Right? Is that there are two statements that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making, verse number 5 and verse number 6. إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٌ. Right? Now, funny, the English translation here says, I don't know about the other translations, but this English translation here says, what you are threatened with is most surely true. Now, it's not a threat. Innama tu'aduna. Tu'aduna is from the word wa'ad. Wa'ad is like in Gujarati, you say, why do you? Right? Wa'ad is a promise. Innama tu'aduna la sadiq. Sadiq is truth. So Allah is reiterating what the Prophet is promising them, that what you are being promised is going to happen. It's true. Right? وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقَعَ. And the judgment must most surely come about. It's going to take place. الدين is يوم الدين. Right? يوم الدين is the day. Of course, is another name for the day of judgment. Is the day when religion will be established. When all kinds of, all clouds of disbelief and doubts, all will be removed. Now, here is what you have been promised. With clarity. No more doubts. Right? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا تُوَعَدُونَ لَصَادِقُ. What you are being promised is true. وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقَ. And that day of judgment is going to take place. Understand. With the same power that if you give it a second thought, if you give it a deeper thought, you will understand the powers that are moving the clouds from one end to the other end. The same powers that are allowing the ships to float on the sea are the same powers that are confirming to you that that day of judgment is going to come. Okay, you tell me, if I stand up here and I tell you that by the power that this is happening, by the power that this you can see, right? And that this is going to happen, the very way the Prophet recited this, you're going to believe it? Are you going to believe it? The Prophet stood up amongst these Arabs and said, by this, look at you, look at around you. See how the wind blows. See how the ships sail on the sea. And by the power that does that, I am telling you, this day is going to come. You think they will believe? They were not ready to believe. No. Why not? When, remember, very important thing, remember, that when they knew, much less than what we know today of scientific phenomena, they knew much less at that time. Right? Number one. Number two, they knew that what the Prophet was telling them, that there is a superior power that is controlling these things that the Prophet is pointing towards. In terms of the ships sailing on the water, or in terms of clouds floating in the sky with water. They knew that there was some superior power behind this. But when they were asked to believe in the Day of Judgment, a block came out immediately. That comes about because of this mental state of whether we are open, receptive, or are we set in our ways, we don't want to accept what is new and different. See, when the Holy Prophet started his mission, remember that day when he started his mission, he said that if I was to tell you that there is an army behind Quraysh, Jabal Quraysh, if there is an army behind here, would you believe me? It's in Mecca. And people turned to him and said, Ya Muhammad, we have never heard you lie all your 40 years. Why would we not believe you? We have never even heard you lie, even a small lie, never. So why would we not believe you if you told us there is an army behind us? We would believe you, of course. So, the Prophet says, now, I am telling you there is one God. Wait a minute. Don't want to believe that. Why? Why not? You just told me I can't lie. You just told me you have absolute faith on what I tell you is right. Now I'm telling you there is one God. And you don't want to believe that. Why? Human nature, Human nature is that what cannot be explained, don't bother going down that route to that. What you know. When somebody tells you of the unseen, when somebody tells you something that is not tangible, right? You really want to study that hard and find out whether that is true or not. Of course, those same people who rejected the Prophet in the first gathering, many of them went on to become Muslims. Don't forget that. But the first reaction, immediate reaction was, no, this can't be true. So, it is very important But we remember one thing. We are at a level where we have declared our belief, testified, given testimony, our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah exists. Allah is kind. Allah is everywhere. We believe everything. I mean, I could write you an essay on that belief of mine. Right? What I am saying is that explain the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in things that are happening around you. Don't write me an essay and say Allah is everywhere and Allah knows everything. Fine. Show me practical applications in your life to show that yes, this is where Allah is. And that, it requires, you know, it requires an understanding, it requires a conscious attempt to make it work. It's just not that you believe in, no. You want to see, now you want to see Allah in everything you do. You want to find out where is His hand in what is happening around you. That will increase the understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because we have a very theoretical, very abstract understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we have to do is to take it a step further, to get involved and get Allah's presence in our blood. That is why this particular verse, فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرًا, understand that everything you see, there is an angel ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is doing this. Find out the presence of Allah in everything around you. You know, I got a call from somebody 2 days ago, was it? Yeah, 2 days ago. Saying my mother is seriously ill, she's in the ICU. She says, now I'm in a moral dilemma right now. So what is the dilemma? She says, the doctors are proposing to put her on a ventilating machine, which will help her breathe. I said, so what is your dilemma? He says, but that does not promise her a quality of life. Okay. She will be able to breathe, but does not mean that she will see, or she will feel, or she will know who is next to her. She will just continue breathing like a cabbage. I said, very well. What is the question? The question is that if I don't, you know, pay for the machine, am I doing a sin? Am I committing a sin? What would your answer be? Is it not wajib to save one's life or a person's life at whatever the cost? Here is a 90-year-old lady who the doctors are telling you that even if the machine is used on her, this lady may live for 6 years, but she will lead a life without knowing who or what is next to her. Breathing because the machine is on. So, and this is where, you know, the reason why I am mentioning this incident is so that we understand how we are supposed to apply the understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is important. I said, okay, fine. Can you afford, first of all, can you afford? Because, you know, in some countries you have to pay for these services. Can you afford these services? I said, yes. I said, you must put her on a machine. Right? Why? And I was, you know, I was discussing with him. It's not that I was giving the fatwa, please, don't get me wrong, yeah? I was discussing with him my understanding of what happens to a person who is in his or her last stages of life. What happens to a person? Said Peygamber the Hadith, there is a hadith by the Holy Prophet that says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, Allah will make sure that that person is punished for his sins during his life. If the person dies and yet there are still some sins that have to be punished for, then Allah will make sure that that person is punished in the grave. So that on the day of judgment, when the person rises, Allah will tell him that you are somebody I liked. I have disbursed your punishment to you in your world and the grave. فَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ Enter paradise. This is the Prophet's hadith. And on the same token, the Prophet was explaining that if Allah does not like a person, then Allah will grant good rewards in return for the good deeds that that person is doing on this earth. And if there are some good deeds that have to be rewarded even after his death, then Allah will give him good time during his grave. So that on the day of judgment, when he comes and wants good rewards for his good deeds, Allah will turn to him and say, look, I don't like you. I gave you everything on this earth and the grave. You go straight to the fire of hell. The Prophet has explained this hadith very clearly. Now, this hadith means that a person goes through different phases, you know, of goodness and badness in this world, but there has to be a reason. Allah says that He gives good things to people because He doesn't like them. So that is a possible explanation that good things come to us because Allah does not like us. You know, when Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that when everything is hunky-dory, you know, everything. I mean, you look right, you look left, you look ahead, you look behind, you look above. Everything is fine. Question your faith. There's something wrong somewhere. Pray to God. Why? Because everything cannot be hunky. Allah would not allow that on a mu'min. Right? So, when this is happening, I am discussing this with the guy, and coming back to the story, I said, if that is the case, then my belief is that if your mother, Allah decides that she has to suffer during the last few days of her life, it may be that Allah wants to forgive her sins. Why are you blocking them? You can't see her suffering, agreed. But whatever, if Allah wants to take her life away, He can take her even though she has the machine on. That's what happens to her. But if she has to lead a life as a cabbage kind of creation, existence, you know, under that machine for 6 years, who is suffering? She is suffering. But that suffering is what Allah may want in order to forgive her sins. So, let us not come in between. Let us look at what we have to do. We have to save a life. Save a life. Now, the quality of life may go down. She may suffer. She may be in pain. But let us understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own system under which He operates. And in that system, if we know the system, we understand the system, then we have to work with that system. And if we work with the system, we have truly understood what Allah is. So when I say, here we apply our understanding of Allah's presence at all times, is that this hadith that I say, we have heard it so many times, right? But have you ever thought of applying it at this time? This is what is required of us. Can we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We talk about these phenomena that are happening, the eclipses, tsunamis. You know, we try to explain everything. The bottom line is that Allah has put their angels to do these things. Somewhere along the line, something has happened where Allah may have decided to start the first and say, here, start this. When we say that certain kind of punishments happen, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have said, to punish these people, just push one button. And the rest will follow. So, it is very you know, it is very difficult to pinpoint in any event or phenomenon as to who is responsible or why is this happening. Let's not get to that level that we want to be able to pinpoint and identify every phenomenon, every event, every incident that we can say this has happened because Allah wants to test us, or this happened because Allah wants to punish us, or this happens because this is, it doesn't work like that. Some incidents and events, you would read it in a different way, I would read it in a different way, because to me, it may be a test, to you, it may be a punishment. As they say, one man's meat, another man's poison. So that would mean that the same event, the same incident, for some it would be a blessing, for others it would not be a blessing. As long as you know that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who. And if we do that, then whether it is good for us or bad, it should not really matter. That is the key thing. Should it? It shouldn't. But because we look at it through our own perspectives, our own personal likes and dislikes, our own personal wishes and aspirations, is when we judge as good or bad. So, I know I'm running out of time because I want to really ask, questions, if there are any questions. Just that we remember that these first few verses of Surah Al-Zariyat, when you recite them, remember these things, that everything that is happening around us is because Allah has allocated certain angels to carry out those functions, and that is why it is happening. And try and read, or rather find the presence and existence of Allah in everything that is happening around us, physical or spiritual. Physical or otherwise, try and understand the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what is happening around us. And with that, we will enhance our faith and spiritual understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next week, I think, we'll be having it on a Tuesday or a Monday, I don't know, it depends on the finals. Football, yeah? Kya nahi chai football? Sunday, Monday na chai? Nahi, Saturday, Sunday chai. Anyway, you guys will all get an email as to when the next class is, because I still have one class before Abbasman comes in, and I do want to carry on with this same surah to understand how, and if you look at the translation, if you recite the translation of this whole surah, you will see that Allah, the Holy Prophet wants to prove the Day of Judgment, but he does that by first proving Tawheed, the existence of Allah, the signs of the existence of Allah, and so on. Ji. Alaykum salam.
Where does the devil, the system of being?
The who?
The devil, Shaitan.
Shaitan. Where is he in the system of angels? He is not an angel, of course. The system of angels is where these, and again, these are angels that are created for certain functions. You see, the cause and effect. The cause and effect that if the earth moves, or rather a plate on the earth moves, there is going to be earthquake. Right? Or if volcanic earth from inside a mountain erupts, there is going to be a volcano. Right? All these actions are actually carried out by angels. That once it reaches a certain temperature, this must be pushed out. Right? And if it is pushed out, this must burn down. You know, all that. All the events that take place are happening with angels. That's the kind of angels that we are referring to here. فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرَ. As far as the devil goes, the shaitan and the iblis goes, I don't know, perhaps you were in better places at the time when we were doing these classes earlier on, where we have dealt with Iblis in length, that he was not an angel, he was a jinn, kana min al jinn, right? Number one. Number two, that he had attained the status of almost angels for certain reasons, and why he he disobeyed and so on. Inshallah, some other time we shall, you know, get an opportunity to discuss further. Ji.
Thank you very much for taking your time to make an effort to come back and give us the passport. Allah is restored. May Allah reward you for it. If everything is done by angels, or if you can't explain something as if an angel, where is the action of a new movement coming and the question of free will coming into that? Because then, what is the role of how we advance in science and are able to prevent certain phenomena because we know how to deal with them? How are we going to explain these things as to how progress goes on and things like that? Or maybe it is not explainable, I don't know.
You see, the understanding has to be, perhaps I may have been inadequate in explaining this properly. Let me explain this properly, and I hope you will all understand. The angels are not doing the actions, the angels are doing the reactions. Remember that. That means, if I switch off this microphone, right, what happens? You can't hear me, right? Now, the angels have not switched off the mic. I switch off the mic. But what the angels will do is that they will stop the voice from being amplified. Because that is a reaction to my action of switching off the mic. So, the action still comes from free will. The result of that action, the reaction, will come by a set principle, a phenomenon that can be explained in science. But Allah is telling us that it is He who created the system of cause and effect, the action and reaction. And when He created the system, He created angels in charge of all that. That is why when He wanted fire not to burn, what did He say? He said, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salamun alayka. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise fire would have burned. I mean, that is the normal reaction. So, fire is not an angel. The burning sensation caused by fire is a system which Allah has created. Right? And there, Allah has put an angel to take care of the function of the fire. Right? That if you light a fire, it will most certainly burn. Because the angel has been allocated that task, that duty. That when a fire is lit, your duty is to burn. Until told otherwise, like in the case of Prophet Ibrahim. So, when it comes to choice, the angels do not exercise any free will. The angels are created for a purpose to carry out the phenomenon itself. To carry out the function of the action, the reaction of the action that has been perpetrated. It is we who carry out the action. And as we see the reaction, we try to explain it by a scientific phenomenon. Whereas that reaction has been carried out by the angel that Allah has created. Now, Allah is telling us that I have created these angels so that you understand that even these phenomena that you take so much for granted, right, is created by me, and if I want to put a stop to it, I have the power to put a stop. That is the understanding that we are supposed to have of Allah.
So, when you said the cause and effect is because Allah sent the angels to do it, it is the same to the human being. Like, if Allah wants to punish a human being, it is the angels who make the punishment. You get my point? The cause and effect.
Yes, the cause and effect. When the human beings commit an act, right, that deserves punishment, then when that punishment comes, it is the angels who are carrying out, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set forth a system. It's like, for example, I take a gun. The gun is supposed to shoot. The gun is supposed to kill. I put a gun on my head and shoot. Right? Am I going to die? You tell me I'm not going to die. It's not going to happen. Why? Because the reaction of my action is going to take place. For that reaction, Allah has created angels to carry out the reactions. The angel has not killed me. The angel is just doing the bit where if I click on the trigger, the bullet will go out. Whether I point it there or I point it here is in my hands.
So you mean to say that angels carry out the actions, not the...
The angels carry out the reactions, the functions. The functions. Not the decisions.
The functions.
The functions. So they are like mechanical. Let's put it this way. They are like mechanical. What Allah is trying to guide us to understand is this is not a system that has come about by itself. This is a mechanics that I have created. Understand that. That the winds blow from one direction to another without anything. There has to be something. And that mechanics is my creation. This is why Allah wants us to understand. As when we look at this light, we look at this amplification of sound, immediately we know something, some knowledge, some control, some scientific phenomena is controlling this. It is amplification of sound through microphone, through speakers here. We know there is something, right? Allah is telling us, look at the skies, these clouds are moving. You think they're moving without any mechanics? There are mechanics there. These mechanics are the angels that I have created. That is Surah Al-Ayat. The first force that you understand and begin to realize that what is happening around you is by the power and presence of Allah. Right. Any questions? More questions? No questions.
So the other thing is that when you say that Allah is as close to you as your names.
Jagdur.
So I keep the relation between man and God. Is the angels involved in between or just a direct relation?
Well, the angels again, you see, the angels are involved in every function that goes on from you to Allah, from Allah to you, in every function. You ask for a prayer, it is these prayers that will be taken up to God through intermediaries, through angels. If Allah decides to grant you your prayers, then it is these angels who will execute what Allah decides to grant you, correct? But there comes a time, and you've got to understand those levels of spirituality. There comes a time when even Jibreel told the Holy Prophet that beyond this I cannot come. It is beyond this you are God now. It is up to us to elevate ourselves to a status where we either, you know, where even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in Dua Kumail we say that وَكُنْتَ أَنْتَ الشَّاهِدَ لِمَا خَفِيَ عَنْهُ. That means that you have appointed two angels to write my deeds. But you were a witness behind them to whatever was hidden from them. وَكُنْتَ أَنْتَ الشَّاهِدَ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ لِمَا خَفِيَ عَنْهُمْ وَبِرَحْمَتِكَ أَخْفَيْتَ. And by your mercy, you still hid them, hid it from them. That means that these angels are recording everything, but there are things that Allah will want them not to notice, and they will not notice. So when there is a chance of Allah getting close to us, the chances that Allah can get close to us without the need for angels.
My question is that whatever action we are doing, Allah knows it.
Absolutely.
Each and every action that's happening, even a small thing in the world,
yes.
Allah knows it.
Absolutely. وَلَا رَقْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ.
So each and every individual, Allah knows who is doing what.
Not only knows who is doing what, Allah knows who is going to do what. Right? Even if you are going to change your decision, just a split second before doing it, Allah will know. That is Allah's infinite knowledge. It is always a step ahead. And that concept needs to be, you know, understood properly. Inshallah, some other time. Next week, inshallah, 8 o'clock sharp, we will start. I think you will receive an email to say which day it is, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.